Okay, good evening, and if you have your Bibles, let's resume our studies here in Hebrews chapter 9. And we've been studying out of this, verse 14, and I'll give you a chance to open your books. And so here in verse 14, Hebrews chapter 9, yep, chapter 9, verse 14. Well, we'll pick up context again in verse 11. At this rate, I'm going to be in Hebrews for 9 years and Romans for 9 years and Matthew for 13 years, maybe. Maybe the Lord will come first. We'll see. All right. But of Christ being come and high priest, this is verse 11, of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, of the Lord's creation. That's why he's referencing not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation, neither, it says building, but it should have been creation. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in how many times? Our Lord made one sacrifice for sin for how long?
Forever.
Entered in one time, once, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament. Okay? Now, a testament is a will or a covenant. Okay? They all describe the same thing. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament or the first covenant. What was the first covenant or the first testament? The law. Okay. The Old Testament was written under that covenant. That's why in the Old Testament we see the giving of the law and we see all the failures before the law. But the New Testament was written under the New Testament, as in the name, New Testament, the New Covenant, which is what? It's their sins and iniquities, as the scripture says, will I remember against them when? No more. So you won't find a single sin of an Old Testament saint listed in the New Testament. Why? Because they're under the blood. So it's God's objective view to man after Christ is crucified through the cleansing blood of Christ so that man stands in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. Okay? So, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Our hope, our eternal inheritance. Okay. Now, we've been kind of meditating on this portion here where we talk about dead works. Now, we've gone to different portions of Hebrews, we've gone back to Romans, we've gone over to James. Dead works are a result of a substanceless faith. Okay. That's why, like we studied over in Romans chapter 5, we take pleasure in the testing or the pressing of our faith. Why? Because Christ promised the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. So if somebody says, where are your works? Or what good thing have you done for God today? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. Okay? My Lord Jesus Christ was good for me. Justification by grace through faith apart from the deeds of the law. That's what we believe in. So it's really when we express faith to God or expressed faith to God in salvation, it's really our faith in what the scripture calls the faith. Now, what is the specific singular faith? It's the body of revealed truth concerning Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. For what purpose was his person and work done? We're the purpose. Okay? We're justified in him. So he stood in my stead in life, and he stood in my stead in death. And in his death, he sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat in heaven, where the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, now cleanses me from all sin, so that he can be the mediator, as we're going to go into, of the New Testament or the New Covenant relationship, wherein their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. For the Jew and for the Gentile. Now, we've been studying in Hebrews, we've been studying in James, we've been looking at the Jews over in Romans chapter 9 through 11, and we're kind of hammering away at the Jews. Okay? Now, I've told you guys for a long time, and Pastor Andre has taught you very well on this matter too, over the years, the Christian ought to be the best friend of the Jew. Okay? There are saved Jews, and there are saved Gentiles. There are unsaved Jews, and there are unsaved Gentiles. Who's the savior of both parties? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now I want to read a portion of scripture to you over in Romans chapter 15. Israel was a chosen vessel to point out man's fallen estate and to bring about the resolution of man's fallen estate. They're really the canary in the coal mine of mankind. Okay? So let's go back to Romans chapter 15. Now I want to read one verse. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, now, at the time of the writing of the book of Romans, we didn't have the full collection of the New Testament canon of scriptures. So the scriptures that he was referring to was the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? Who was the main character of the Old Testament scriptures? The nation of Israel. Okay? And in the nation of Israel, they had the sacrificial system. But the sacrificial system was instituted all the way back in Adam and Eve after they were banished from the Garden of Eden. Okay? If you remember the story of Adam and Eve, where they were caught up in the sin, Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the Lord said, "Have you eaten of the tree where have I told you not to eat thereof?" And of course, Adam confessed, "Yeah, but the woman that you gave me did." Okay? And then he said, you know, okay, well, what was the end result of that? He made coats of skins because they had tried to cover their own nakedness by fig leaves. Now, what do those fig leaves represent? They represent the efforts of man, the flesh. Okay? Is there a just man that doeth good and sinneth not? No, not one. So, can our efforts in the flesh or our efforts before the law to try to prove ourselves morally before God, can they stand before God as perfect works? No, of course not. None of us are perfect. You know, that's the bottom line. So they're as frail as those fig leaves that they attempted to cover themselves with. So God made what represented a permanent covering for them, the skins of an innocent victim. What did it require for those skins to be produced? Shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. We read that over in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? And we read all about it back in all the way back in Leviticus as well. So, now read verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for whose learning? Ours. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What do we learn in the scriptures? That we're dead in Adam, alive in Jesus Christ, by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and how he put himself upon the cross of Calvary to die for all sin, shed his blood, sprinkled it upon the mercy seat in heaven, where it blots out all of our sin, and all that's required of us is a simple look of faith. Okay? And then we learn, of course, after we express that simple look of faith, that the faith was actually a gift of the Spirit of God, so that all things might be of him, to him, and through him. Now, really, the Gentile, that's us. I don't know if any of you all have Jewish blood in you or whatever, but that doesn't matter much. But as far as the Jews were concerned, the Gentiles were Ichabod. They weren't to be touched because they were unclean. Okay? Now, do you suppose the blood of Christ can cleanse the most sinful Gentile just like he can cleanse the most sinful Jew? Yeah. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from how much sin? All of it. Okay? So now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. This has been a mystery. For the entire Jewish age, until the church came into play, and Paul speaks of this mystery here in Galatians chapter 2. Ephesians, excuse me. Ephesians 2. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of, really, it should be the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Pretty sorry state of affairs. We're born into the world that way, right? But now, this is why I like buts in the Bible, but now in Christ, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by what? The same blood. Okay? Without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. As we read over in Hebrews, for the Jews, because that's being written to the Jews, the writer to the Hebrews references the same blood. So, is the same blood that cleanses the Jew of all sin just as effective to cleanse the Gentile of all sin? Absolutely. For he is our what? Peace. Who hath made both, speaking of Jew and Gentile, one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So now, as far as the church is concerned, we're one body, Jew and Gentile, in Christ. So should there be any cultural or class distinction in the body of Christ? No, we're bound by one blood. If we're bound by one blood, then we're one family. You know, what makes the distinction of a family? Blood in the natural. I'm of Italian blood, or I'm of Norwegian blood, or I'm of Swedish blood. I've got Irish in me, English in me, Swedish and Finnish, and a little bit of Norwegian. So I'm a total mutt, so far as I can tell. That's what my grandfathers and grandmother and my parents told me. I don't know if any of that is true. I haven't done one of those DNA tests yet, because I don't want to have somebody have my DNA on file somewhere. You know, they might clone me. We don't want a bunch of Erics running around. You know, the world's already in a rough enough shape with one of them. All right. So, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile, that is, change completely, both from the world. Now, what does the world believe? The world believes into a way which seemeth right unto a man. Okay? So all the thoughts and imaginations and idolatries of the world, whatever they may be, are separate from Christ. Okay? Because there's only one way into the presence of God. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a broad way, and many there be that go in thereat. That's why the Eastern opening of the tabernacle in the wilderness was broad. But there was one small opening into the holiest. Okay? The broad way says, whosoever will may come. But that narrow way was the Lord Jesus Christ, and not all would find it. So there's a broad way, and many there be that go in thereat, and there's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he says here that he might reconcile both unto God by one body, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, from the Jewish perspective, and to them which were nigh, the nation of Israel. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto who? Our Heavenly Father, the one that created us. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, who's the household of God as far as the world's concerned? Israel. But not all are Israel who are of Israel, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being who? The chief cornerstone. Now, any building built with stones, which was a common building practice for thousands of years, I actually wish they'd build a few more buildings with stone. They're beautiful buildings, you know. Modern style is not very beautiful. as far as I'm concerned, ancient structures and stuff like that, stone buildings, and I've always had a kind of a twinkle in my eye for them a little bit. But if you're going to build a stone building, the chief cornerstone dictates the dimensions of the building. So everything goes on a straight line from the cornerstone. So if you don't get the cornerstone right, the building is not going to be square. Okay? That's why the pyramids are so amazing. You know, it still blows my mind how those things were made. They weren't made by the Egyptians, I can tell you that. Okay? Let's see here. Where were we? We were right down here, verse 20. Okay, in whom, this is verse 21, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay? The Spirit of God binds us all into one body. Me and one of the missionaries have been corresponding via email here recently quite a bit. Actually, me and two of them. And, you know, we've been bouncing spiritual thoughts off each other and mutually growing and building our relationship in the Lord. And they've been helping me and I've been helping them. And it's a mutually beneficial relationship with, you know, pastors communing. It's kind of nice. I don't have a pastor. So I get to talk to other pastors sometimes about the things of the Lord. And when you're in the Word of God together and the Spirit of God is active and you're coming up with spiritual responses back and forth between the two parties as we commune, you know, we're using the Word of God to do it. And so if Scripture is properly applied, that's because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. So we all want to be on the same page, scripturally speaking, because the Spirit of God bears itself through the Word of God. All right? You're indwelt by Him. Okay? You have a reborn spirit of your own. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And how do you suppose that happens? It has to be by hearing the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing. Okay? So what is the foundation for the church? Christ and doctrine. All right? We don't stand on any other faith. We stand on the faith, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed in the Scriptures. Now, if anybody stands against us or says, no, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you know, we can argue with them a little bit. You know, that's fine. That's why we're called apologists for Christ. You know, we make a case for the Scriptures and for the truth of the Word of God concerning our Lord's person and work in our behalf. But if they continue to say no to us, and, you know, after the second admonition, what are we supposed to do? Reject them as a heretic. Let the Lord deal with them. Are they going to be heretics their whole life? I don't know. But who do they belong to? If they're in Christ, they're eventually going to belong. Well, if they're going to be in Christ, they belong to the Lord right now, because He knew them in salvation from before the foundation of the world. So we can't fix everybody. You know? That's why the Lord said to the Jews, "Fear not their faces. You know, preach the word of God boldly, and allow the sword to fall where it may." It's either going to cut to salvation or cut to condemnation, one way or the other. And they're going to hate you for it. But do they love our Lord? No. If they hate you, they hated Him first. So that's the way the world is. So we have here, let's see, verse 22, "In whom you also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." Now, you know, when Paul calls himself a prisoner, he's not saying it grudgingly. I'm a bondservant to my Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So he's talking about his bondage as an ambassador to Christ. Our Lord's bound to him. Is it too much for our Lord to ask for us to be bound? If he's bound to us, is it too much for our Lord to ask for us to be bound to him? No. Our Lord gave all for us. If he says go preach, that's a small job concerned compared to what our Lord did for us. So, and our Lord's not a tyrant of a master. Our Lord's a gracious master. "For you have heard of the dispensation," that's the management, "of the grace of God, which is given unto me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by what? The gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. So the Savior of the Old Testament is the Savior of the New Testament. And the Savior of the New Testament is the Savior of the Old Testament. So many preachers love to get up to the pulpit and say, the Jews were under this different system, we're under this system. The sacrificial system, as we've been studying over the book of Hebrews, was fulfilled, well, really was inaugurated by our Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrificial system pointed out, because it began with the law, without the sacrificial system, there is no law. Without the law, there is no sacrificial system. So they're really one. What did Moses get when he went up to the mount there when they were in the desert of Sinai? He got the law and then the pattern for the tabernacle. They came together. But everybody always says he went up there and got the Ten Commandments, and that's all he came down with. You know, he didn't just come down with the two tablets of stone. He came down with the pattern of the tabernacle, which was the remedy of the failures in the law that were already occurring by the entire nation of Israel when he came down from the mount after 40 days. The nation said, what do we do with this man called Moses? And, you know, Aaron, make us a god that we may worship, and we want to go back to Egypt because we had it so much better back there. Yeah, thou shalt have no other gods before me, you know. But man is what? He's cursed in sin. So they got a little bit emotional, and they got started whining and moaning and bitching, and they didn't like the manna that they were being fed with, but they definitely loved the hard bondage under Pharaoh and the death that resulted from it. You know what the world is? The cursed world is a place of death. No matter where we go or what we do, we're under the curse. And it's appointed unto man what? Wants to die. We're never going to escape death. Okay? It's an ever-present thing. Now, this is why the scripture says, what is it going to profit thee if you should gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Because after you pass through the veil of death, you're either going to be eternally separated from God in hell, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to be brought into paradise or into the presence of God and be comforted for eternity, you know, in a new body like under our Lord's glorious body. But they were thinking emotionally and thinking with their flesh. And they said, let's get out of here. Moses bounced on us. He's out of here. We don't know where he went. Because even though he said, I'm going to go up to the mountain and come back down to you, they could clearly see the Lord up there with the thunderings and the lightnings and the smoke and the tremors and the loud voice that they didn't want to listen to anymore because they said, let not God speak to us directly anymore. They were too scared. So God said, okay, I'll do it through Moses, you know. And they already had said, all the Lord our God has spoken, we will do. So they were waiting for the we will do. And he came down with it. And of course, they were committing all the sins that were written in the law. So what did Moses do? He shattered the stones upon the earth because all the law was already broken. But he had the remedy for it, okay? The tabernacle. What does tabernacle represent? Emmanuel, which is being interpreted what? God with us. Who is God with us? He was with us for 33 years in his first advent. If we make a proper assessment of Jesus Christ's first advent, or a confession, that is to say the same thing that God does about Christ, he came as the Lamb of God, which doeth what? Taketh away the sin of the world. So he came as Savior. Okay? So as we read on here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. So I want to turn to Romans chapter 11 and build on this just a little bit. Romans 11. Now, do the Jews bear any importance to God currently? Yes. Are the Jews the custodians of the faith currently? No, the church is. Are there Jews in the church? Yes. There were thousands of Jews in the infancy of the church in the first century. There's Jews in the church today. Albeit there's probably not many Jews in the church today. There's probably not many Gentiles in the church today either in the very latter part of the latter days that we're in right now. All right, You know, our Lord said, "Will," or Isaiah said, "Will I find the faith in the earth?" Or excuse me, "Will he find the faith in the earth when he comes?" Well, the answer to that is technically no. The faith is going to be with him. We're going to come. He's going to come with all his saints. But in this age, there are redeemed out there somewhere. Okay, I don't know if we're one of the last 10 churches, 20 churches, 50 churches, 1,000 churches, but I'm sure there are sound churches out there somewhere. Okay? And there are believers, even though we're in the midst of this mega church movement, you know, it doesn't take much faith to believe. We've talked about this before. They're probably not that well taught, which is a shame, but they're out there. But concerning Israel, we read here in verse 1 of the 11th chapter, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? Well, God forbid, or may it never be. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scriptures say of..." He says Elias, but this is Elijah. "How he making intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life." You know, sometimes I sort of feel that way a little bit in the world. That's why I shouldn't have given my address the other day. All right. "But what saith the answer to God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men." So the Lord's always had, you know, what the scripture calls a remnant, you know, or tithe. So, you know, that's where we go back to, there's a broad way and many there be that go in thereat. There's a narrow way and few there be that find it. "Who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal." Well, we call him Baal, but the proper pronunciation is Baal. "Even so, then, at this present time also, there's a remnant," or a tithe, a remnant, "according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." So, if you're going to receive a gift, if it's a gift, you didn't work for it. I mean, it's a pretty simple concept. We have the gift of salvation. Our Lord calls it a gift. If it weren't a gift, it would be by works. If it were by works, it couldn't be a gift. Now, if it were by works, then our Lord died how? In vain or uselessly. He was a hopeless suicide. Why do I say suicide? Because he said, "No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." So he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Okay? So, you know, our Lord said, if it weren't for the purpose, and I'm paraphrasing it, if it weren't for the purpose of his crucifixion, he could call in legions of angels to get him out of there. All right? But it wasn't time to fight. That's going to come in his second advent. All right? So, our Lord Jesus Christ is the gift from God the Father to us because he loved us and gave himself for us. So if it by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded or hardened. Now, we talked about the hardening of our Lord last week, I think, during the evening service in Romans, I believe. And we're not talking about the Lord taking a specific person and making him ineligible for salvation, because that would contradict the scriptures and the Word of God. What did the Word of God say about salvation? "Whosoever will may come. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved," right? So anyone in the world can be saved, but not all will come to faith. And so the hardening of the Lord is the Lord leaving them in their reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or unfitting. So and it doesn't have to be. Everybody says the reprobate mind is homosexuality. That's one aspect of the reprobate mind. The reprobate mind is that which is contrary to the truth of the Word of God and the existence of God. So he says here, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day." So we see that in the nation of Israel. "And David saith, Let their table be a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back all way. I say then, they have stumbled. Have they stumbled that they should fall? Well, God forbid, or may it never be. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ was the stumbling stone. So who do they stumble on? They stumbled on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ because they wanted to do it themselves. I say, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. That's us. For to provoke them, the Jews, unto jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be riches of the world, or the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which be my flesh, and might save some of them. He's talking about his fellow kinsmen or countrymen in the flesh, the nation of Israel or the Jews. For if the casting away of them, Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches, speaking of Israel, be broken off. Now, when did that happen? Your house is left unto you desolate. Okay? The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The church age came along, and the Holy Spirit went into the church. And now, the word of God is being preached to both Jews and Gentiles during the church age. Okay? So, the wild branch Israel, or excuse me, the natural branch Israel was broken off. And we're going to see that a wild branch was grafted back into the natural olive tree. We are that wild olive branch. So he says, and if some of the branches be broken off, then thou being a wild olive branch, this is the church, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness thereof of the olive tree. Now who's the root? Christ. Okay. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. So are we to boast as Gentiles at the nation of Israel, saying that we're better than them? Well, we do sometimes. Not us necessarily, but the church does. Okay? I've heard so many pastors pound the pulpit, stupid Jews this, stupid Jews that, they're Christ killers. Okay? Now, what does the Jews say about us? Dirty, rotten Gentiles. But in Christ, there's what? As we read over in Galatians, and we see it also in Ephesians, there's neither Jew, I don't think we read it in Galatians, but let's turn there. Galatians chapter 3. Keep your spot here. I'm thinking scripture and not reading it. So let me, Galatians chapter 3, we'll read it directly. Galatians 3:26. Yep. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were have been baptized, now we're not talking about water baptism, we're talking about spirit baptism. So in spirit baptism, that's what took place when you were saved. Christ said that you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, and you've been risen with Christ to walk out in a newness of life. And the newness of life is the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. So that water baptism that when we, you know, whelmed you in water fully, pulled you out of the water fully, speaks of the event that took place when you were baptized in the Spirit. Okay? It's an outward example of an inward faith. So, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there's neither what? Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all what? One in Christ, bound by one self-same Spirit. Through the doctrine and the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're all bound, one in Christ, in Christ Jesus, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So going back over to Romans, verse 18, just because we've been grafted into the natural olive tree, which used to be Israel's domain, okay, they're still there, they're still in part of the tree, but we're grafted in and we're now the custodians of the faith. Do we have the right to boast against the nation of Israel? Oh, you dirty, rotten Christ killers? No, they have a national inheritance too. We're one in Christ, remember? Okay, one blood, same family. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. Now, who's the root? Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. If we bear the root, we see that the root in Christ has cleansed them from all sin, just like he's cleansed us from all sin. But the root thee. Wilt thou say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but what? Fear. Have a reverential awe for what we have. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest also he spare not thee. The church is to operate in the truth of the Word of God, and the church has fallen way off the reservation concerning operating in the truth of the Word of God. There's very little of the church left. So we're coming right up to the end of the age where the nation of Israel is going to be grafted back into the tree. We're going to see that here. How'd that went quick? I feel like it's been 20 minutes.
Too much fun.
I guess, okay. Weird. That's weird. I swear it's only been 20 minutes. All right. So, I don't like that clock. I understand why Pastor Andre used to curse at it too. All right. So, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee concerning the church. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, us, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou, the church, us, shall also be cut off. And they, Israel, also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. Again, that's going to happen at the end of the age when we're taken out through resurrection, okay, in the main harvest, and the 144,000 saints that were resurrected at the time of our Lord's resurrection, who've been being trained all this time in the presence of God in the gospel, are going to come back in perfect form and preach the gospel upon the mountains of Israel. They're all going to be Jews. So we're going to have a Jewish expression of the gospel in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ again. So the natural branch is going to be grafted back in. So as we read here, verse 24, or if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye also be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So, we're coming right down to the end of the age where the fullness of the Gentiles will be complete. Now, read this next verse. What does it say right here in verse 26? And so all Israel shall be what? Saved. They're going to look upon him whom they pierced, believe and be saved, and they're going to be counted as part of God's people, the Israel of God. They'll be sealed away in heaven for us, with us for the ceaseless ages of eternity. And we're not going to have any mind of any kind of class, blood, male, female, any of that kind of distinction. We're going to be male and female in heaven, but we're not going to be given in marriage. Okay? So all this futility that we go through in life is going to be no more. So he says here, as it is written, all Israel shall be saved. There shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from who? Jacob. Israel. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away really the sin of them. We're talking about the sin. As concerning the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ and his person and work, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are what?
Without
repentance. God can't change his mind. For as ye, speaking again of the Gentiles, in times past have not believed God, yet now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these now now not believe that through your mercy they may also may obtain mercy. I really butchered that one, but good thing you got a Bible and you can read it yourself. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon how many? All. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him, of him and through him and to him are what? All things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Okay? So, why is the writer to the book of the Hebrews so concerned about the estate of the nation of Israel? Because all Israel shall be saved, and Israel has to turn to the Lord as we have turned to the Lord in the church as Gentiles. Okay? And so, the Savior of the New Testament is the same Savior as the Old Testament, and the Old Testament Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be returning with all of his saints. Okay? We're going to have the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? He's going to put his establish his kingdom upon the earth. All who have been saved from all nations are going to be the inhabitants thereof for 1,000 years, and then we're going to come into the new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth what? The righteousness of Jesus Christ for the ceaseless ages of eternity, as it was meant to be. Okay? So, don't let the world get you down. The Lord's had this plan before this world was even created, and he can't lie, and he's all-powerful. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for the comfort that's in the Word of God, and all these things that we study tonight. We say, amen, and so be it. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.